So I heard that you want to invest in real estate, but do you want to invest in real estate or do you want to work in real estate? Big difference. That's today's show. Let's dive into it. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor, created multiple seven-figure companies. I've been buying properties for years and renovating and building new construction properties for many years as well. On today's show, I want to talk about something. I think there's a myth that floats around out there, whether it's on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube and other different places, about the myth of becoming sort of wealthy or rich overnight. Now, look, I want you to become a real estate investor because I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. I want you to buy real estate and hold it. We're not talking about flipping houses here. I want you to buy it and hold it for the rest of your life. But there's a lot of work that goes into doing that. This is not something that you can just do overnight. So I want to posit this question to you. Do you want to work in real estate or do you want to invest in real estate? So what is the difference? Well, I work in real estate and I spend years, our team spends a boatload of time researching markets, developing relationships with property management companies, contractors, insurance companies, our financing department that we work with to make sure that we have non-recourse financing built into all of our properties. The hours, weeks, and months that go into making all of this run incredibly smooth for our clients. It's a lot of work. And that's something I do every day. Now, you might be a dentist, you might be a doctor, you might be a college student. You're not going to have the time, attention, and detail to be able to do all of that unless you make this your full-time vocation. So I want to go through and really detail, if you want to work in real estate, what it would take for you to get up and running and really identifying the best real estate markets, the best property management companies, the best financing options. So we're going to go through in detail in today's episode and talk about the things that we personally look for before we start investing in a market. Now, this is tried and true. We've gone through many years of, you know, we've frankly had a lot of mistakes in the past. We've grown tremendously as a company over the years, and these are the things that we found actually work the best, produce the highest return on investment, making sure your vacancies are low. All of those pieces we'll detail here in a moment, but that's really where you're going to be able to create passive income every month when all of these pieces of the train are chugging along that track in the right direction, okay? So let's dive into some of the ways in which we analyze different markets and what we look for. Some of the worst advice you could possibly get in the real estate world is to just go out and find a property in your own backyard. That is horse pocky. Horse pucky? That doesn't make sense. That's not a smart investment. Finding properties in your own backyard is likely to lead to a disaster. Now, let's say you live in California, one of the worst real estate markets in the country to invest. So you're going to go find a single family home for $900,000 and invest in that? Three bedroom, two bath? Great. Good luck with that. Investing in markets like that don't make sense. Not landlord friendly. High taxes. Way overpriced. You've got a lot of issues if you're going to be dealing and investing in your own backyard. So that's one of the tendencies that we have at the beginning is to think that our best properties are in our own backyard. We analyze markets. We're looking for a number of different factors. And before we even move into buying in a market, we'll do some tests in that market and can take up to a year before we even pull the trigger on moving into that market. So that's what we're looking for. And in fact, one member of our field team spent a number of months this past year in one market analyzing because some of it looked really promising, but in the end decided not to, that we are not going to invest in this particular market because of some other problematic signs in that marketplace. So we stepped back. So that was a lot of time, attention, and effort put into saying no to something. And I'm reminded of something Steve Jobs used to like to say, which is sometimes it's the benefit of saying no. It's what you say no to that is actually more important than saying yes. Steve Jobs was famously asked by one of his executives to start selling t-shirts in Apple stores because they would sell it at Apple's campus. They sold t-shirts at Apple's campus. And Steve said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, we are not a clothing manufacturer. We're a computer company. And so no t-shirts. So it's what you say no to sometimes. So analyzing a number of different markets over the past year, we've had to say no to them. But then we say yes to the right ones. So what are we looking for in these particular markets? top on our list is vacancy rate. We want to analyze the vacancy rate in this particular market, because if there is a long-term vacancy rate, then that's not going to be good for our clients. It's not going to be good for buy and hold properties. That means that when we do a tenant turnover on their property, there's not a high demand in that particular market. And look, right now, folks, we have a housing shortage in this country. We need 22 million homes for affordable housing. They can't build them quickly enough. We need housing. So if there's a high vacancy rate in a particular market, that's a problem, wouldn't you say? So we're going to try to stay away from that market if there's a higher vacancy rate. Next on our list, appreciation. Now, while we are not appreciation investors, we still like to have a nice appreciation on our properties. So the value of those properties is going up year over year, and we can probably raise the rent year over year, depending on the appreciation rate in that market. Now, you're not going to see, we don't go after crazy appreciation like you might see in California or Miami or other places like that. But if the national home price surge right now is around 4%, 3.5%, we want to be in that same ballpark. We want to see a nice appreciation on our properties. So we want to focus on appreciation. It's not the end all be all, but if it's going in the opposite direction, then something is not right. Another thing we like to look at is building permits. How many building permits are being pulled in this particular area? Because that shows a sign of growth. If there are no building permits happening and there's stalled growth, that's a problem. So analyzing and seeing how many companies, how many builders, how many contractors are actually pulling building permits to start either its new construction or renovation projects is a clear sign of growth in a particular demographic. Another thing that's a little nebulous to kind of wrap your head around, but it's understanding the market cycle and where we are in a particular cycle of the market. So again, these are things we want to analyze. This is not an end-all be-all, but when you can see some clear signs on the horizon of problems, that's when maybe we want to shift, pull back on the number of properties we're building, et cetera. But right now, we have an incredible demand for properties, and builders can't keep up with the demand. We're also seeing a rise in home prices, and we're seeing mortgage rates even going lower, and another expected round of interest rate cuts this year alone. When I'm looking at a market cycle and people want to talk about a trade war, great. I'm looking at individual markets and I'm seeing what's happening in those particular markets, and that's where we like to invest. Job growth, that's my next on the list. I want to make sure that jobs are growing in a particular market. So we were seeing some job declines in certain markets in Michigan and other areas, and that's an area where I've definitely pulled back on because of some of those declines. I want to make sure that jobs are needed. People need to move there. And so in the areas where we're investing, we have multiple large employers right now investing, a lot of warehouse space, new hospitals, those types of things. So that's what I'm looking for in these particular markets, nice job growth. I also want to see low crime rates or crime dropping. So if we see jobs going up, crime going down, appreciation going up, vacancy rates going down. Those are all clear signs of an area that I want to be investing in. So those are some key metrics before we start spending time boots on the ground in those particular markets. Just having that data at our hand before we even dive deeper. The next thing you want to consider is what type of property is right for you as a buy and hold investor. Now, I've talked to many commercial real estate investors who say they are simply sitting on their money right now, sitting on their hands and not buying large apartment buildings because, well, frankly, the return on investment is not there. They're getting a 2% return. I spoke to an investor yesterday who said he was bidding on a property. He valued it at $3.5 million. It ended up selling for over $5 million. And he said there was no way, when he was analyzing that property that it was worth over $5 million. Even at his $3.5 million, he was about making 2% return. It was not high at all. So the person that paid $5.5 million was making negative return on that investment for a commercial property. So for me, I love single families and I love duplexes. I love those smaller residential properties. The demand for those is incredibly high. Tenants tend to stay a long time. Tenants have a nice yard, a driveway, their own garage. They tend to make the property their own. So for a buy and hold investor, I love single families and duplexes. The next thing that you want to consider is new construction or a renovation project. Now, personally, at our company, we're doing a lot of new construction because the benefits of new construction really are outweighing those older renovation projects right now. That means we can do and buy in bulk. We can do large projects simultaneously with our team, which is fantastic. So putting in nice amenities, you know, granite countertops, vaulted ceilings, adding some higher end amenities while not making it an A-class property, still making it an affordable house for a renter and for a purchaser. So hitting that sweet spot. But new construction offers all kinds of additional benefits from a tax perspective, okay? And because it's brand new, you're not having maintenance requirements to worry about for the long haul. So that's one thing that I want to make sure that I'm taking care of, is that I don't have to deal with fixing a new roof or putting in new cabinets and updating countertops, new furnace and water heater. By having a brand new construction property, you kind of eliminate that for many, many years. And tenants tend to pay a higher rent. You also get the tax benefits of doing what's called a cost segregation analysis. So on your taxes, you're able to depreciate more on your taxes and more quickly. So you're able to 5 and 7 year tax depreciation because of road improvements, sewer, other things like that that you can't get from a simple renovation project. Let me give you some insight into how many times we look at properties. We'll look at over 1,000 properties before we buy 10 of them, okay? That's how much we're analyzing properties before we even pull the trigger on a particular property. So there's a lot of time and effort and attention that goes into buying properties. Can't tell you how many times people getting started in real estate investing and they buy a property on a whim. I get people emailing me that say they found some little dingus property on Zillow and they ask me if it's a good deal. And I tell them, how much time have you spent on this property? Have you analyzed this deal? Because just looking at pictures on Zillow and the fact that it's been sitting there for 400 days on market, that's not a good deal, okay? There's something going on here. You need to question the reason that's sitting there for that long. And by the way, why is it even listed on Zillow? Properties that we're identifying are not even going to make it that far. So these are things you need to consider. Analyzing multiple properties and not falling in love with real estate. Not falling in love with that one deal that you think is the right one. Let the numbers and the metrics do the talking before you pull the trigger. When we're analyzing these 1,000 properties, only 10 of them are likely to be able to be financed through our lending process that we work with our lenders. So what they're going to do is they're going to vet the property because we want non-recourse financing built into the property. So before we even pull the trigger, we're working with the banks to make sure that their analysis of the return on investment sticks with our analysis of the return on investment. So making sure that these things line up, because a lender is never going to lend on a property that they don't think is a good asset. Okay. So when we look at 1,000 of these, only about 10 of them are going to, when we're doing a renovation stage project, only 10 of them are going to end up working for us with a financeable property with the bank. So how do you find these lenders? It's going to require you to be incredibly tenacious. It means taking these bankers out to lunch, going to their offices, really networking with them and rubbing elbows with them. And not necessarily in the market that you live in, remember, because that might not be the best market to invest. It might be 2,000 miles away. But I encourage you to fly there and spend some time with these bankers and develop a relationship with them, okay? Really get to know them. Let them know that you're going to be analyzing a couple hundred properties and you'd like to try to identify a few that you could pull the trigger on and build in financing for this investment property. This will really help you, but it'll also help you to have a lot of real estate transactions under your belt. In order to get non-recourse financing on a property, they're going to want to know that you have a history, a track record of doing this. So start now. You know, start building that track record of investing. They're going to want to see that you have a long history of that. And then you'll have banks competing for your business like they do with us. If you have any questions about non-recourse financing, I've done a couple of videos now that really explain why I love non-recourse. It's not tied to you, the person, it's tied to the asset. So the lender is looking at that and saying, yes, that is a great asset. I don't care about you necessarily. I see the cash flow. I see the analysis of the market, the demographics. Let's pull the trigger. So it's like an extra set of eyeballs on your investment. Also, the bank leverage here, folks, I want you to be hanging on to your own money. So when you're a smart real estate investor, you're holding on to your cash as much as you can, and you're using the leverage of banks and lenders to get you more bang for your buck. So I want you to be able to put down a certain amount as a percentage down and be able to have the bank carrying the rest of that balance for you. It's a powerful way to explode your portfolio. You need to do it correctly. I don't want you going out there and spending all of your own money. If you have an asset that's backed by a lender that they are saying is a fantastic asset, great. Put a certain percentage down that you can afford, and then let the bank carry the rest of it. It makes your money go further. It enables you to buy a second and third property in quick succession. So hang on to your own money, the power of leverage, folks. Let's talk about the most important piece. I mean, well, the property is the most important piece, right? But property management, okay? When we go into a market, we need to spend a long time vetting property managers. We want to, at least before we even start the process, make sure that they have 5 to 10 years of experience being open. Their doors have had to have been in business for 5 to 10 years. That means they've gone through different market cycles, okay? And if they're in business at that length of time, they know the neighborhoods. They've been through it. They understand. I also want you to ask them, do you have a 96% occupancy rate? That's what I'm looking for. I want a 96% occupancy rate or higher. Anything lower than that, then that's going to be a trouble for me. Because if I'm looking at the market and I'm seeing a lower vacancy rate, I'm seeing job growth, I'm seeing crime down, then why are so many of your houses vacant? Makes no sense. Are you lazy? So I want to make sure that their occupancy rate is very high before we'll even start considering working with them. I also want to know how they handle customer service questions. Are they able to get back to an owner very quickly, a landlord? What is their method for communication? What kind of software do they use? How do they vet their tenants? What type of background check do they do? Do they do credit, criminal background checks, all of that? I want to make sure that all of these things are in place before I pull the trigger on hiring a property management company. But I would suggest that you interview between 5 and 7 different property management companies before you make a decision. This will get you a really good sense of the differences of these particular property management teams. You might have one property management team that films the walkthrough before the tenant moves in and sends that video to the owner to let them know that here's what the house looks like prior to owner or the tenant moving into the property. Another property management company might not do that. They might not have a whole film crew that does that, but they're excellent at communication. So you need to weigh all of these things and find out what's important to you. But at the very least, I would say 5 to 10 years experience, 96% occupancy rate or higher. I want them to be able to fill up properties. I want a good vetting process for tenants in these properties. And I want their communication and software to be top notch. That's at a minimum. Another thing I want to ask those property managers is, hey, will you give me a reduction on your fee? You know, because we buy in bulk and we do lots of properties simultaneously with property managers, we're able to get a lower property management fee. That's something that just Joe Q investor off the street can't get buying one property. So think about those things. Can you negotiate with that property manager and say, look, I'm going to be buying 10 properties, 15 properties over the course of 3, 4, 5 years. Can I work with you on a lower rate? That's what we're able to do because we're doing hundreds of properties at one time with different property management teams. Very, very important to try to negotiate that rate because that's money coming out of your pocket. So the more money in your pocket, the better the ROI, the better the cash flow all around, right? Another thing that you want to ask property managers or any company that you're working with is, what is their customer service team like? Are they able to get back to you quickly if you have questions or concerns? Are they able to do monthly check-ins with you to just give you a call and to let you know how things are going or ask you how things are going? These things are very important to us internally. So that should also be important to you. This is your portfolio of properties. So you should be asking these questions, whether it's a property management team that you're working with or a larger sort of institutional team you're working with. What is their level of communication? How are they going to be able to provide updates for you? If there's a tenant turnover in a property, how quickly can it be filled up again? If you're working with a great property management team, can they get it done in 2 weeks? You know, ideally, yes. You want them to be able to move quickly. So the level of customer service and client care and getting those points of communication across are very, very important. So as you're building out your business, as you're starting to invest in real estate, think about these things. Don't just buy properties and then sort of set it and forget it and then ignore them for a few years. Okay. Yes, that's great that you're getting the cash flow, but have regular check-ins with your team. Make sure that, you know, you're getting the right amount for rent. Can we increase the rents next year, et cetera? Can I buy another property, et cetera? So these are all things that are very, very important to the process. So bottom line, investing in real estate is not easy, okay? I don't want any internet guru out there to tell you that it's just something you can click your heels, Dorothy and Wizard of Oz, and overnight you're going to be a multimillionaire and you're going to be on easy street. You need to nurture your portfolio. But more importantly, you need to do your due diligence ahead of time and really put the things in place that are going to sustain you for a long time. Making sure that you're analyzing markets, not just like jumping on the internet and thinking the hot new trend, and then you're going to pull the trigger. I want you to analyze some of the data that I already talked about: vacancy rates, job growth, crime, appreciation. What are the demographics and market cycles of this particular area? Are there any new businesses coming in? What are some of the reports about that? Is there a huge new factory that's about to be built? That's important. So understanding these things, understanding your property management teams, what are their motivations? How long have they been in business? Finding great properties, not overpaying and paying for properties in your backyard just because you can't think outside the box of where you live and go outside into different markets. Very, very important. That's what we do, and I'm so proud of our team, but I really want to impart to you how difficult it can be. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments below. I'm happy to help you walk through this entire process. Send me the details of a deal that you found. I'll help you to analyze it. Maybe we can even jump on here together, and we'll do that together and help you through that. So, do you want to work in real estate, or do you want to invest in real estate? That's the question. I'd love to hear your response below. Now, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. It is the number one way to build wealth. Hit that subscribe button and we'll see you next time.